Hello, thank you for joining me today for our podcast on medical care for swimmer shoulder. My name is CJ Rushman, and I am the head master's coach and lead age group coach at Emmy Lyons YMCA, Anderson Barracudas. I have been involved in the sport of swimming, competing as an athlete for over 40 years, and have been coaching swimming from an age group level to a master's level for more than 30 years. In today's podcast, we are going to cover some of the most common musculoskeletal overuse and overtraining injuries that among the most common problem swimmers encounter. The specific issue that we are going to talk today is swimmer shoulder. Although not unique to swimming, overtraining is a serious condition that can have a significant negative impact on swimmers' health and performance. These topics should be reviewed with your staff regularly and discuss the various issues that a medical team should consider when caring for swimmers. Swimming is one of the most popular sports worldwide. Competitive swimming is the most watched sport during the Olympic Games. Swimming has some unique medical challenges as a result of a variety of environmental conditions and chemical exposures. We will not cover these topics on today's podcast. Those will be covered in a later subsequent podcast. Some of our key points for today's podcast are: swimming training often consists of frequent weekly practice sessions with long hours spent in the pool or the weight room. Musculoskeletal overuse injuries, particularly shoulder injuries, are common among swimmers. And the medical team should be aware of the risk of overuse injuries and overtraining among swimmers. So now we're going to discuss the common medical issues with musculoskeletal injuries. Although most musculoskeletal injuries in swimming are overuse training injuries due to chronic overload, several acute types of injuries can occur in swimmers. Most truly acute injuries occur due to contact or direct trauma and are thus uncommon in a contact sport, non-contact sport such as swimming. However, these events can happen in swimming due to the hand striking on the wall at the finish of a sprint. Metacarpal fractures requiring surgery have occurred in elite level swimmers. Hand and finger contusions and fractures may also occur by striking the hand on the lane line or by striking the hand or the head or the body of another swimmer. Foot injuries can occur from striking the foot on the wall during a flip turn. These mechanisms of injuries can also lead to lacerations. Shoulder pain is common in swimming and is typically a chronic injury due to repetitive overuse. However, acute shoulder partial dislocation can occur in swimmers with underlying shoulder laxity. For an example, the overhead position of the arm during the hand injury in the backstroke can predispose the shoulder to subluxation. Swimmers also have a degree of underlying shoulder laxity. This can predispose to acute subluxation. A patellar or your kneecap subluxation can occur in individuals with underlying general laxity, although uncommon, can occur during breaststroke swimming. Both of these I've researched, and that was from the book Medical Care of Aquatic Athletes from A.W. Nichols for 2015. One thing to consider also, and it's all related, is that acute onset of back pain can occur in swimmers. Even though we're talking about the shoulder, there is some a lot of the muscles that do, you know, go from the shoulder cross into the back, especially the upper back. So repetitive hyperextension that occurs in breaststroke and butterfly can lead to spondylosis or a stretch fracture of the vertebrae. Obviously, your vertebrae goes from back, you know, bottom of your base of your skull all the way down through the hip bone. So this is something that, you know, you as a coach would also have to understand, that the insertion points and where muscles begin and muscles end. So although spondylolisthesis is a chronic process, the onset symptoms can be acute. And the repetitive trunk motion from flip turns can also lead to fatigue of core stabilizing muscles, contributing to back pain. which those muscles can also sometimes be ready up into the shoulder. And then the simple onset of fatigue, resulting in overloads on dry land, could cause subsequent injuries as well. Now, it should be recognized there are serious underlying chronic conditions. So, for example, a swimmer with shoulder tendinopathy or a swimmer shoulder may have an acute exacerbation of the shoulder pain due to a change in the training volume or the frequency. In a recent study done by the NCAA, NCAA.org, for those that want to go out and look this up, a survey of injuries in a Division I swimming programs across Division I swimming programs reported that freshmen had the highest rate of injury, supporting the relationship between a change in training and the injury. A careful history is critical to determine if acute presentation of pain or injury is an exacerbation of a pre-existing problem. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the weight training a little bit briefly here before we talk about some of the other issues that might have to be considered. So, as we know, swimmers do often lift weights or other dry land training as a part of their training program. So, obviously, we're not, you know, you have to train your muscles, not just in the pool, but also for some more explosive things to get benefit out of it. So any acute musculoskeletal injuries can occur during these training activities as well. Acute muscle strain injury can occur with forcefully lifting weights or other forms of resistant exercise. Notably, there was a report, again, done by the NCAA, the NCAA.org Sports Science Institute, and the NCAA Injury Surveillance Program, that over a five-year period, that Division I collegiate swimming program found that 38% of the injuries occurred during dry land training. So not just the water. So, you know, 4 out of 10 injuries occurred while they're dry land training. So really, the attention to technique and careful performance of dry land exercises is critical to prevent injury from those exercises. Now, overuse injuries, basically have, you know, as reported as 4 injuries per 1,000 athletic exposure in a study done at the University of Iowa from 2002 to 2007. The shoulder and upper arm were the most commonly injured areas, followed by the back and the neck. The NCAA Injury Surveillance Program studied for 4 years that the rate of overuse injuries in men was 0.66 per 1,000 athletes, and in women it was 1.04 per 1,000 athletes. Comparison, during the FINA World Championships in 2009, FINA.org, 171 injuries were reported, incident of 66 per 1,000 registered athletes. And the most affected body part was the shoulder, and most common injury was overuse. So briefly, we're going to talk about the shoulder. Shoulder pain is the most common musculoskeletal complaint in swimmers, and the vast majority of swimmers pertain to overuse rather than acute injuries. So differentiating the diagnosis of a swimmer's shoulder pain is extensive, and really you need an appropriate workup to be included from a detailed history through a physical examination of the neck, the shoulder, the upper back to be critical in developing and narrowing this differential. And the medical practitioner that's performing this would also be aware of any psychological, physiological, and biomechanical stressors during the swim stroke, similar to how we understand the mechanics of throwing a baseball per se. We know that poor biomechanics, especially with the fatigue of scapular stabilization and rotator cuff muscles, that leads to a dynamic instability and impingement of the shoulder. So we talked a little bit about what that is, but really the best thing for the shoulder is shoulder stretching with the right type of warm up. So shoulder is the most frequently stretched joint among swimmers. Swimmers have adopted stretches that target static stabilizer of the shoulder joint. And in the past, though, static stretches have been pre-virtual races, ballistic windmill motions were utilized in hopes of preventing injury. But as we've learned through different publications, that many swimmers are generally flexible and possess loose connectivity tissues. So it's basically a general joint laxity overall. So by looking at the epidemiology of injuries and prevention strategy in competitive swimmers from Fox and Wavenus from Sports Health in 2012, they've come to claim that because of the inherent laxity shoulders that the swimmers possess, swimmers should emphasize preserving the overall stability of the shoulder and less time on general static stretching. A dynamic warm-up would be better to produce a long-term and enhancement in power, agility, and strength. So one of the things from a shoulder perspective that swimmers need to look at is the type of internal and external rotation that they are using. Collins, Hill, and put together a risk factors for shoulder pain and injury in a critical systematic review from Physiological Sports Med from 2015. Talked about the types of what they need to do as far as the internal external rotations of the shoulder and how to prevent and what type of preventative things you can do. So again, lots more information out there. You can go to, again, the NCAA has information out there for their website on some of the studies they've done in the overuse injuries and periodization educational resources, FINA.org, also NCAA.org, as well as our resources for risk factors for shoulder pain and injury in swimmers, a critical systematic review, Hill, Collins, 2015, Nichols, Medical Care of Aquatic Athletes from 2015, and then Epidemiology of Injuries and Prevention Strategies in Competitive Swimmers from Sports Health of 2012. Those documents there can give you a wealth of information of how to take care of your shoulder. So I hope you found this to be beneficial, and we look forward to you joining us for our next podcast. Thanks.